1 Samuel, please, chapter 25. Let me draw your attention tonight to one verse and to a particular phrase in that verse. Verse 13. David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. It is that phrase, "and 200 abode by the stuff." Let us bow for a moment's prayer, please, to ask the help of the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we come pleading the help of thy Spirit. Lord, it is through the foolishness of preaching, Lord, that those will believe. We ask, Father God, tonight that thou wouldst use the preaching of thy word, Lord, in its simplicity, for the glory of Christ our Saviour. We ask, Father, for that challenge tonight for each of our hearts. We ask, O God, that we would be not only hearers, but doers of the word. Challenge us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Lord, hide the preacher behind the cross tonight. May none be seen, save Jesus only. For we ask these things for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen. Amen. David, fleeing from Saul, had 600 men, plus women and children. Resources were few. And David, as he was fleeing from Saul, he heard that wealthy Nabal, was shearing sheep in Carmel. And as we read through chapter 25 to verse 13, we heard there that David's young men went down and approached Nabal about provisions for David's army. Nabal was a churlish man. And he said to the young men, "Who is David? Who is this David? Many men have broke away from their master. Who is this David, the son of Jesse?" He knew very well who David was, the son of Jesse, the anointed king of Israel. He sought not to give the provision that was asked. So David, once he heard Nabal's reply and these churlish statements, he said to his men to gird on every man his sword in verse 13. And David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. David's got his sword gird on his side, and 400 of his mighty men, they're heading to Nabal's house. David split his army. 400 men went out to do battle, but 200 abode by the stuff. 200 abode by the stuff. Now, whenever I read this, I thought to myself, you know, there wasn't 20 or 30 men left looking after the stuff. But there was a third of his army left to look after the stuff. 400 went out, and 200 stayed to look after the stuff. stuff. Whenever we say that word in the context of our own houses and our cars, I see people smiling already. Especially whenever I think of a little room in our house called the schoolroom, the study, the store room, and there's plenty of stuff in it. And my wife often brings to my attention that there's been a particular pile of stuff which has moved not only from Northern Ireland to England, but actually moved a few times in Northern Ireland, and it remains in that little room. So whenever we say stuff, we think particularly of something even in our own circumstances that really isn't of much significance. It's sitting somewhere in the garage and it's just a pile of stuff. Yes, it's maybe needful. Or we tell our wives it's needful if it's in the garage. It's always needful if it's in the garage. But stuff, it seems ambiguous. And 200 men looking after the stuff, does it not seem a bit of an overkill? There were 200 men looking after this stuff for a very good reason. There was a good reason why David, with his wisdom and knowledge, left 200 men out of his 600. Let me draw to your attention the meaning of the word stuff. It is translated in this passage, and our translators have used the English word stuff. It means various things. Any apparatus. Any implement. Utensil. And yet, it also speaks with regards to something prepared. It has that connotation in its meaning. It is also translated in other places as various words. Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6, please. First Samuel chapter 6. And let me draw your attention to verse number 8. 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 8. And here we read, "And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go." Here we have a little word in this verse. The jewels of gold. And it is this word, this same word, which is translated stuff in our text in 1 Samuel 25. So here we see another shade of meaning to the word stuff. It is something here which is expensive jewels of gold, not easily come by. In connection with the Ark of God. Very costly. I seek to paint a picture for you with regards to the stuff which David's men looked after. These 200 men. We see with that stuff, there very well could have been jewels. Costly treasure. And this word is translated here as jewels, which we have as stuff in 1 Samuel. Let me take you to another portion, please, Please follow along if you can tonight and turn up the passages. And the passage now I want you to turn to is found in Judges. Judges chapter 18. Judges chapter 18 and verse 17. And the 500 men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image, and the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men. And there were appointed with weapons of war. Again, I bring your attention to another translation of this word stuff in 1 Samuel 25, and we have it here in this verse, and it is the word weapons. The word weapons at the closing part of that verse. Weapons of war is the same word. So we have again another shade of meaning on this word stuff. It's not looking so insignificant now, is it? In fact, it's quite important. If David's men were looking after the jewels of gold and those expensive things and the weapons of war, not all of his soldiers could take all of the weapons with them at that time. So therefore, all of the stuff which was left, it was expensive, costly, and it was needful. Needful for further expeditions, needful for further battles which would be fought. Jewels and weapons. Come with me again, please, to 1 Samuel. This time, 1 Samuel chapter 8. And verse 12. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Again, I draw your attention to our word stuff in this verse, but it is now translated as instruments. Here it's instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Again, alluding to the fact that they are required for battle. Those instruments which are required for reconnaissance. Those instruments required which will make the soldiers in David's army effective in battle. Instruments. We come to another in Exodus chapter 39. Exodus chapter 39. There are two found here in this chapter. Exodus chapter 39. Our first is verse 33. Exodus 39 and verse 33. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent and all his furniture, his tashes, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets. Here we have the various parts of the tabernacle. And again, I draw your attention to our word stuff, which is translated here as furniture. Furniture. Furniture of the tabernacle. We think of parts of that furniture tonight. We think of the lampstand, maybe in particular, required to give that light within the tabernacle. The furniture, this word here is translated as our word stuff. So we have jewels, weapons, instruments, and furniture. Our final reference is still in chapter 39, but verse 36. Again, it's still in connection with the tabernacle. Verse 36, the table and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread. And again, our word stuff is translated there as vessel. Vessel. So we have made various brush strokes to see if we can paint a picture for you tonight of these 200 men who have stayed behind to look after the stuff. It's a lot of resources. A lot of resources looking after a lot of needful pieces of equipment, of weapons, of vessels, of furniture. All needful. How then do we apply this tonight? Let me ask, what stuff has the Lord asked you, Christian, to look after? What has the Lord given you that is your responsibility in His work to look after the stuff? We have in our midst ministers. And I welcome my ministerial brethren tonight. But we can't all be ministers. We can't all be missionaries on the mission field. There are those that are sent out to battle. There are those which go to the forefront of the battle. There are those which will go out with the 400 and they will be placed in different parts of the battlefield. But there are also those which must stay and look after the stuff. Has the Lord called you to look after the stuff? Maybe you have been thinking recently that, well, it's what the Lord has asked me to do is it's not exciting. Maybe if you have been doing it for a number of years, it has become laborious to you. Has God's work, dear friend, become laborious to you? I trust that's not the case. And maybe even you would say tonight, in honesty, well, it has become tedious. It has become a burden upon my heart. I no longer enjoy the work of God. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, is that your case? Well, can I point out to you that these men that went forth to battle, these 400 men, that as they went forth, they couldn't take everything with them. As the soldiers went forth, if that soldier went forth and his pockets were full of the jewels and he had not only his sword at his side, but he had his spear and his bow and his quiver of arrows and he was weighed down with his weapons. What about the furniture? We need furniture. David's men would have been no different there. Wherever they had placed themselves, there would have been furniture used. There would have been chairs, simple, straightforward things. But they couldn't be taken into battle. They needed to be left behind the vessels, the plates, the cups, these everyday things were left behind, and the men were there to look after the stuff. You know, that was no simple task. You know, just because there were 200 of them looking after this stuff, and let's not forget that there were women and children would have been there as well. That they were in danger. Because although they were more than 20 or 30, there were 200 of them. But what happens if the Philistines had have attacked? If the Amalekites had have risen up and attacked the camp? And there were only 200? Well, they too. Although they were not on the forefront of the battle, they too were in danger. They too were in danger. See, brethren and sisters, tonight, those 400 soldiers, they were lighter, they were swifter, they were more effective on the front line of the battle because the stuff was being cared for by the other 200. It was needful. It was needful. My dear friend, tonight, if you're finding the Lord's work tough, if you think, well, you know, I should be in the pulpit, but if the Lord hasn't called you to the ministry, if the Lord has called you to look after the stuff, then that is your place to look after the stuff. You see, as the Lord has given you the responsibility to look after the stuff, then the other men who go forth to the battle, they will be lighter, they will be swifter, they will be more effective because of you. Stuff. What has the Lord given you? What responsibility has He given you as a child of God? Well, let us use what we have looked at, the jewels. This word which is translated stuff is translated as jewels. Treasure. What has the Lord given you? You may say today, well, what has He given me? Well, He has given you His Word. My dear Christian friend, tonight, is that not a treasure of all treasures? To be given His Word in your own mother tongue? So how have you looked after this treasure, dear Christian friend, tonight? How have you looked after it? Are you reading it as you ought to be? Have you got a reading plan? Are you reading through the Scriptures in a systematic way? Are you seeking to memorize the Scriptures of truth? Are you seeking to put them in your mind that they filter down to your heart, to your hands and to your feet? Is that what you're seeking to do tonight, dear friend? To seek to dig up that hidden treasure in God's Word, to utilize it, though you only are looking after the stuff. Are you looking after the treasure of God's Word? Are you? Only you can answer that question tonight. I wasn't long in Liverpool before I had to visit a gentleman who was in hospital. I didn't really know much of his history. There may be men here tonight who know this gentleman very well. His name is Mr. Albert Robinson Sr. He is the father of our clerk of session in Liverpool. He is very infirm and at times very ill because of his infirmness. And I went to visit him in hospital, and due to his condition and the loss of his memory, he struggled at times to recognize not only myself but also his son. He struggled at times to realize even that his wife was beside him. But you know, all through the time that I have visited him now, and it's nigh on a year and a half, you know that gentleman who has trouble remembering even his own wife and family, do you know that he remembers God's Word? And whenever I'm reading to him, that he will finish the verse that I'm reading. And whenever I ask him, "Brother, where do you want me to read from?" he will say, "Romans chapter 7, or a psalm." And as I read that to him, you can hear him at times, he will take over. And I must stop. And I must listen to an elderly gentleman quote the Word of God verbatim. If that was to happen to you, my dear friend, how much Scripture could you or I quote if we find ourselves in that position? It's challenging, isn't it? And isn't it amazing how this gentleman was used of God throughout his life as a missionary in South America and in Spain, but yet God is using this gentleman through the treasure of the Word of God, sitting in that bed, quoting God's infallible truth. He's still. Because he memorized, he dug up, he dug down deep into the treasure of God's Word, and he counted it to him as treasure. Jewels, the treasure of God's Word. We looked at another translation of that word, and it was weapon. Weapons. You who are looking after the stuff, are you looking after the weapons which have been left behind? The weapons which aren't being used on the forefront of the battle. Oh, my dear friend, how's your prayer life tonight? When's the last time you shed a tear in prayer? When's the last time I shed a tear in prayer? We have those spiritual weapons, as Paul declared. Are we using them? Are we using the place of prayer as we ought? Praise God, that number found prior to this meeting tonight, claiming God's promises. Maybe next week you'll be there too. I trust you. Oh, my dear friend, how are we using these weapons? Are we faithful in the place of prayer? How's your quiet time, Christian? Do you have one? Are you faithful in the place of prayer? These are weapons which not only the one who is in the forefront of the battle, who stands in the pulpit, who is out on the mission field in Spain and South America can use, oh, but the person can use who's looking after the stuff. How's your prayer life, Christian, tonight? Our next word, as time slips through my fingers, is instruments. 1 Samuel 8:12, the word there was translated as instruments. Are you looking after the instruments that God has given you, dear Christian? Are you looking after those things which God has held in your account? Let me talk to the parents here this evening. I challenge myself, for I am a parent. I challenge myself here as I challenge you as parents. Are you looking after the instruments? The instruments that God has given you. Those children which will be used for and by His glory. Are you training them up in the way that they should go? Are you feeding them with the treasure? Oh, how are we getting on as those that look after the stuff? How are we looking after the instruments? Are we looking after them well? Let me ask you who are grandparents tonight, are you looking after the instruments that God has given you too? You know, in Scripture, the Old Testament, that whenever someone was called at their father, it could have been their grandfather, there was that close connection, that responsibility within the family. Grandparents, are you looking after the instruments that God has given you tonight? Are you seeking to train them up in the way that they should go? We come to furniture. We looked at that word furniture. We thought specifically about the lampstand. The lampstand. And how the lampstand illuminated the tabernacle. What a beautiful picture. Christ is the light of the world. Are you seeking to shine forth that light? Are you seeking to do what you can that light may shine brightly in your house, in your neighborhood, in your church? Are you? Do your next door neighbors know that you're saved? Furniture. We have vessels, again, in connection with the tabernacle. I wonder, are you a clean vessel and fit for the Master's use? Am I a clean vessel fit for the Master's use? You know that the best time that a vessel can be used is when it's empty. If I came to your house and there was a half a cup of tea, and you said, "Would you like a cup of tea, Calvin?" And I said, "I wouldn't mind a cup of tea," and you filled it up with a cup already half full, it wouldn't be very good manners, would it? No. No, the vessel is best used when it's empty. Are you an empty vessel for the Lord? Or are you, as a Christian, are you half full of something else? Is there something else in your life and it's hindering the blessing? It's hindering from you looking after the stuff that God has given to you. Is there something hindering the blessing? You're half full. Or you could say also that you're half empty. The vessel is used best when it's empty and filled up. Is your cup overflowing tonight? Have you emptied that vessel that the Lord, with His provisions of grace and mercy, can fill it up? The vessel also has the connection of communion, of fellowship. Fellowship with your precious Savior. Fellowship with the one who has given you the responsibility. He has given you the responsibility that you may, on your knees and by studying the Word, pray particularly and with wisdom for the ones who are out on the field, who stand in this pulpit and preach the Word. The Lord has given you the responsibility to look after the stuff. The Lord has given that to you. So how are you looking after it? How are you looking after it? In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42, there we read, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." We know not what hour the Lord doth come. And yet we have been given a responsibility as Christians to look after the stuff. How are you looking after it tonight? Are you frivolous with the duties that God has given you? Sunday school teacher, are you looking after the stuff? Outreach worker, are you looking after the stuff? Are you as fervent in the outreach as you were when you began to give out those tracts for your Savior? We are to watch, for we know not what hour the Lord doth come. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we have there another mention of David's men. And as we know this story well, that as David and his men went out from Ziklag, the Amalekites attacked and all of the women and the children were taken. And as David inquired of the Lord, and as he went out, and the Lord said, "None will be lost. Go after them." And as they went out after the Amalekites, there were those that were weak. There were those that couldn't go any further. And they were left to look after the stuff. Are you feeling weak in the service of the Lord? Oh, they were weak. They were sore pressed, as the Scriptures declares in verse 10, that they were faint. But they still had the responsibility to look after the stuff. And you know, whenever David engaged with the enemy and they returned with all of the provisions that were lost, and the woman and the children and David's wives, none was lost, as the Lord said. And David said this in verse 24, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as for his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." Those that went out to battle were to get the same provision, the same percentage as those that were faint and had to look after the stuff. By the brook Besor. Are you faint tonight, Christian? Oh, press on. Press on the Christian road. Use the jewels that you have. Use the weapons that God has given to you. Though you feel faint, press on. For in the end, the reward will be parted alike. The reward will be the same for the minister, for the missionary, as it is and as it will be for the housewife who looked after the stuff. Who looked after her instruments. Who looked after the weapons that weren't at war. Who looked after the jewels. All the reward will be the same. Oh, dear friend, are we being faithful in the work of God? Are we being faithful with what God has given us to do? I close tonight. I close by quoting 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6. We read it earlier. It's a scripture reading. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. You know, dear Christian, tonight, the Lord gave His life for us. He shed His blood for us. He gave His all for us. And now He asks the Christian to look after the stuff. Are you looking after it tonight? Are you looking after? Have you engaged in the responsibility of looking after what God has given you to do in your sphere of service? You may never be in Africa. You may never be in Spain. But the Lord has given you stuff to look after. Are you being faithful? Are you willing to do your best for Christ to give His all for you? You are His servant. You are His child. Oh, ponder much upon what He has done for you. Ponder much, my dear friend, upon the wonder of redemption. And if you are feeling the heat of the battle, if you are feeling faint, if you are feeling that the work is tedious and laborious at this time, then focus upon Christ your Savior, for your love will be reignited tonight. And then you will rejoice as you look after the stuff. Though you be not on the forefront of the battle, you're needed to hold the ropes, to pray for those that go forth. I trust tonight that none of us, regardless of our sphere of service, will sleep as others do. But we will watch. We will keep awake. We will be vigilant. It has the thought of to arise from inactivity. May we watch tonight. For we know not the hour that our Lord returns. May we be faithful. Each one of us. As we look after the stuff. For His name's sake and for His glory.